using your own Bible, if you would please rise as we read chapter 16 in Acts, the first 15 verses. And I'm going to separate the page before I get started because they want to hang together. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Please be seated. As our brother John is coming up, you will recognize that there have been a bunch of names there, and you have some maps that have names on them that will help you understand where Paul and Silas have been traveling as they pick up Brother Timothy. And as John is picking stuff up himself, we...
Talk about the food that Teresa sent.
Oh! There is a bunch of food that Teresa provided. You remember the names, I don't.
Jollof rice.
Chicken legs, yes. Chickens have legs. Yes, brother, come up here. I'm just wasting time until you get up. No, I'm not wasting time. I am informing. Bunch of food out there. Please stay.
Yeah.
Brother.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Yeah, once again, thank you to see you. We're so glad to be part of this fellowship again. And last 2 weeks we were here, and Yesterday, David and she was just, we were texting and talking. She felt she really missed coming today, but say, well, you are helping someone, so it's okay. It's the same service and helping others, just as the Word of God, you know, encourage us. So. But I know her heart is here and with us. Thank you so much. Yeah, like you rightly say, today Johnson is here with us, first son, and he has been serving at Victory Valley. We're glad that everything went fine and well. And he's, like you rightly say, after the worship, since we're going to have fellowship together, you will get to know us more again. Thank you for also reading the passage for us. I have divided this into three parts from verses 1 to 5, just as your Bible divided the story. You know, Timothy, my own Bible says from verse 1 to 5, talks about Timothy joining Paul and Silas. Then the second section talk about the Macedonian call. And the third segment talked about Lydia baptized at Philippi. There was a time I was talking to an elder of a particular church, and during his school, Drexel, he's presently an engineer. He has a very big engineering company where he remembered, he was telling us a little story about himself. He said there was a time when he was at Drexel University. So this Christian organization came to the school, and they are looking for someone who will just start a small Bible study group to see if will encourage the students to put their faith in Christ. So he decided to, he accepted that challenge. He was a Christian. I mean, he's still a Christian. So on campus, and he said he will try. So he started, you know, walking around, reaching out to some of the students, even in the class and during breaks and lunch. So he placed a little invitation, say, okay, in his own room at a particular time, those who would like to come and join him just for 5-10 minutes prayer meeting, he will be glad, you know, to have them. And then he was so surprised that a small group of young people at that time, one was just coming newly, and so he decided to join him. And so he, few of them, you know, prayed, and then he was helping them to know the Bible, because they come from a background where they don't know Bible. So he was, you know, sharing with them the Word of God. After that, he left. I think that was almost his last year. And so he helped them a little, and then he left. After many, many years, I think, I can't recall, but he said so many years ago, he attended, he represented his church in a mission conference. And so they brought in all their missionaries from different countries coming, you know, sharing and talking about their experience and how God is using them and reaching out. And so the missionaries came and were talking about their experience and how God, you know, is using them, touching lives and winning souls. And after they finished, you know, sharing their testimonies with the congregation and people that came from different area, and then there was a time for them to have a small break to just eat and then probably go back to the second session. So while he was there, and then one of the missionaries, that missionary gave a powerful testimony. He just wished to know the missionary the more and to just hear about how God, you know, is using him in different countries. So, and then the missionary came and looked at him. So he was surprised. He just came, hugged him, and he was just, he was wondering, why are you doing this? So he thought, he said, do you know me? Can you recognize me? He said, he was just struggling. Well, I don't know where I know you, but He was so excited. I'm so glad to see you today. He still hugged him and was... People were just wondering, what is going on? So he started feeling a little bit embarrassed about the whole thing. And then he said, do you know, years back in Dresden University, he said, well, I can't recall. See, there were a small group of young people you called and talked to them about Bible, and you were sharing a little. He said, in fact, at that time, he has already forgotten that he has done even that in the university, because it was a long time now. So he was trying to recall. He said, yeah, I remember. But not many people turned up, so he was just, he said, yeah, there was a small group that came. He said, that was my first year in school. I came not from a Christian background. I was struggling. But what you taught us during that short period of your stay in school, that stuck to my heart. That was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And that was how God built my faith to become a missionary. And so when you left, after a few years ago, I finished my studies. I went to a missionary mission work, and God has been using me. And said, you know, he brought personal pictures sharing. That elder just broke down and was just, he never knew that what he was doing will amount to anything. In fact, at a point, he was telling us that he almost gave up. He said, people are not telling him, so why will he do that? So he almost left the whole thing. But he persisted. He kept doing it. And when he heard about that testimony, he said, look, how can I support your mission work? He is now a big guy with engineer, with all his engineering company. He said, please tell me, how do I support you? Anywhere you want me to support, wherever you want to go, please, I'm willing to do. And that brought back a strong faith in his life again. And when he was sharing that, you know, you can see the emotion in him, and he was just, you know, he was almost crying that he never knew that that sharing at that time would lead to such something great. When he looked at that missionary and how God was really using him and winning souls, he really, you know, felt touched and said, Lord, I never knew that this seed will turn out to be such a great, you know, investment for the kingdom of God. And that was so powerful and touching for him. And you could see that similar story in Acts chapter 16 from verse 1 to 5. You know, Paul had been to Derbe and Lystra some time ago. If you look at chapter 14, it shows the experience there. They went there, you know, preached the word. There were some problem. It was so, at a point, it was so great. People were trying to call them even gods because they performed miracles. But yet there were some challenges that Paul and his people had to go back. So they left. They never knew. They have tried their best to preach the word, to make sure that they encourage the people to place their faith in Christ. But they left there abruptly, and so they have to go back. A lot of things happened. They never knew what was the outcome, really, if what they have done is they have not stayed alone to see the fruit of their labor. But they just preached, did their best. But, you know, crisis came. People started, you know, a little bit uprising over there. So Paul had to leave, and so they left. After the Jerusalem Council in chapter 15, you know, there was a problem like we had last time. Okay, you are a Jew. If you become if you're a Greek, if you become a Christian or Gentile, what happened? You have to be circumcised before you are accepted as a Christian. So that created a problem for the churches in Galatia area. You can see Paul even talking about in the book of Galatians chapter 2 about, you know, the Jews that came in and started saying, hey, if you have faith in Christ, you have to be circumcised before your faith is accepted as fully saved in Christ. And that generated a lot of situation and problems. So the church said, hey, Paul, why not go back to Jerusalem, meet the church, you know, the apostles, and talk to them about this problem. Let them solve this problem. So that was when we had the first general church council of the church in Jerusalem with the apostles, the real apostles. Now we talk about apostles today, but let me say, in the context of the real apostles, those who walk with Christ, those who experienced Jesus and who were commissioned directly by Jesus himself. So they still have the authority, at least, to speak on behalf of the young church. So they were all there to settle this problem. And thank God they were able to arrive at this position. Once you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that settles it. You have salvation. So circumcision should not be a condition for salvation. Because if you bring in circumcision again, it's like you are telling people you can buy this salvation with your little effort. So you can do something to earn salvation. So when you see people trying to put in human effort and say, okay, let me do this to please God so that I will gain something from God. It may be added advantage, added, you know, salvation and assurance of salvation. God is saying, no, Jesus handled everything on our behalf. All we need to do is just to trust him. This salvation is full and free. It's a gift from God. So we don't need to make any effort. And that was settled. Paul was so excited. And then they said, now we have settled this problem. What do we do? Go back and tell these people the position of the church about salvation. And so Paul now had to go back following the churches again. And so we see this as the second missionary journey. The first missionary journey was there, and then the second missionary journey to go around back to these churches to tell them the position of the church. That this is the position of the church. Once you accepted Jesus, especially the Gentiles, you don't need to be circumcised. You know, your faith in Christ, that settles it. But for the Jew, that is part of your tradition. So if you want to do it as a Jew, you're just doing it as your tradition and not as a advantage of salvation of Christ, in Christ. So Paul now went back, and so they went back to Derbe and Lystra. And what happened? They heard about someone again whose faith was very strong in the Lord, who happened to be Timothy. And I believe, like most of the commentators would see it, Timothy and his family, is very possible that the first time Paul visited that environment or that region, spread the gospel, and this is the fruit, and this is the result of what they have done. And Timothy and his parents and family, his mother, his grandmother, they are now all Christians. And so Paul visited back, and Timothy, the young man, had a great testimony in that city. And so, wow. So you can see Paul now beginning to see the fruit of what they have done earlier. So sometimes, have you ever reached a point, you know, in your life, you are doing something and you almost get discouraged that you are not seeing the fruit now. You know, as human beings, sometimes we want to do things so that let's see the fruit immediately. But if we don't see nothing happening, it's like, hey, God, are you really here? I'm laboring, doing something, and yet you are not seeing the result you want. You are not seeing what you want. It's like, if you're not careful, we may get discouraged, not knowing, you know, it's showing that we just want to make our own effort and say, hey, God, it has to be this way. Honestly, sometimes I ask God, I wonder, why do you sometimes, it seems that you remain silent over certain things. Like, you don't act, but God works in his own ways, different from ours. Paul, they did their work, left, even thinking, they were discouraged with the experience. But now coming back again, they discovered that their work yielded fruit. And look at Timothy with a great testimony in that city. And he said, Timothy, with the testimony we have heard of your faith, we want to take you along with us. You will be a missionary like us. You will go out with us. When people look at Paul and Silas and some of them like even God to be worshipped. And here is Timothy, this young person in the faith. And Paul is telling his parents, can you give us this young man? We want to go with him because we have seen the faith in him. We have seen that and we have had the testimony about his faith. And sometimes that's why, you know, I see that the last song talked about our Christian lives, our Christian, wherever we live, wherever we stay, we are living a testimony about our lives. So sometimes, even in our place of work, in our community, where we are, our life speaks for us. And that's how I see this very challenging. Look at the testimony. Sometimes we have to live as Christians wherever we find ourselves. If we're able to do that, we may not see the fruit immediately, but we are bringing glory to God even in that place. Even those around us will know that these people, they are different. This person, your life is different. They should be able to see us, the light of Christ in us. I remember I was reading a history of missionaries that went to a particular place. So what the first missionary did, I don't know if that's the best way, you know, to do mission work. I don't know. But I read Tim Keller's book also about mission. So he really struggled with that. I can understand what he's saying. But then the whole thing, what I want to say is that this missionary went to a place, a community, and just lived like them. He did not talk to them about Christ. He said he wanted to do something. He just wanted to live in that community, but will not talk about Christ, just to see how his life will transform them. So he started living like them. But there are things that they are doing in that community, the way they live, was quite different from him. He was just living an exemplary life like Christ. He loved them. He cared for them. They knew that this man was different among them, but they were just wondering, why is this man different? Why is he so unique? The way he talks, the way he loved them in that community, the way he was treating them, they were just wondering, what is going on in this man? They were asking the question, but they knew that he was different. They were just struggling with that, trying to know. They tried to ask him, hey, how is your life? We want to be like you. We want to just live like you. We just love the way you are. The way he will go out, come out, and the kids in the community will run to him, and the way he, just the Jesus whom I was watching with, in the, you know, in the, with them, and how the kids were coming to him. They were wondering, who is this man? And then you know what he did? He left. And so they continued their lives. And then after some years, and when I was reading that book, it said it's a kind of a true story, but I don't know how many centuries. So many years, missionaries came to that community with the gospel of Jesus. And they start telling people, we have come to tell you the story about Jesus. And then they said, Jesus, the community were listening, and then they said, okay, tell us more about Jesus. And so when the missionaries were sharing to them about Jesus, telling them about Jesus, and they said, oh, he was here some years ago. We know him. And they said, what? And then they call and let me just use the name John. They said, oh, you're talking about John. He was here. They said, John? We're talking about Jesus Christ. They said, no. His name is not Jesus. His name was John. He was living here with us. He left. And they were shocked. And they said, okay, accept him as your savior. They said, oh, yeah. We were trying to ask him. And they said, yeah, we have accepted. And he said, but this time you'll not say you have accepted John as your savior. This time it's Jesus Christ. And that was how the whole community gave their life to Christ. Because one person lived among them. One person lived like Jesus. One person communicated to them how the love of Christ should be. And the whole community come to faith. Sometimes in our world, in this present age, it's difficult, it's tough, but it's possible. With the help of God, wherever we live, what we say, and how we interact with people, and how we live with them, they can see the light of Christ in us. And they will know that we are different. So the way we live our lives sometimes can bring people close to God and sometimes can send people away from God. So we just have to allow God to help us. And one great thing that I see here that we can learn from this great, you know, lives that they were able to identify Timothy, what, you know, they took him along with them is, you see the mentoring spirit there. And sometimes I ask myself, I say, all these years, can somebody just look at our lives and say, hey, thank you for touching my lives, like Timothy. I like Paul. He sees this young man and says, hey, we got a disciple here. Let's move. Let's train. Let's teach him. Let's walk with him and build him. And I also see that as a great challenge, even for my Christian life. It's like, hey, is there someone that, you know, I've started praying this prayer already. Say, Lord, please help me. Apart from our children, Lord, can you just help me build somebody's faith? It doesn't matter the age, but a young person in the faith where I can help build and mentor in my life, that tomorrow this person will just look at me and say, hey, thank you for building my faith. I came newly in the faith, but you helped build my life, just like what Paul did in the life of Timothy. And if you read the book of Timothy and some of the books Paul will write after this, you will see him mentioning the faith of Timothy. You look at the whole Ephesus where he will say, Timothy, you go and be the young pastor in that church, in that environment. And Timothy did very well. And I see that also as a challenge to us. God, when we pray, I believe God answers our prayer. Say, hey, pray that God will lead you to someone who is struggling in the faith, who needs help. And then God will help you bring out, you know, the gift and the talent in the life of that person. And that is exactly how God expects us to live our Christian life. We must touch lives and then build others in the faith. And discipleship is so powerful. And now I know, you know, sometimes I was asking myself, I said, Jesus, you are God. You came all the way from heaven and you want to convert the whole world. And then you restricted yourself to only 12 people. I know there were secret disciples all over. But then you only mentored 12. Even one among them became something else that was replaced. Then you want to cover the entire world. And then you spend most of your 3 years on earth on 12 that you designated apostles. So what is Jesus doing here? He knew that these 12 will be enough. I remember that the Bible said that they turned the world upside down. And that's the kind of thing God expects. He has given us a pattern. Let's follow that pattern. Invest your life in one person and it will surprise you what that will do. Yeah. And you will see the multiplying effect of the power of just having time. Now, you know, going through church history, now I remember what Martin Luther did, the 15th century reformer. He has what we call the table talk. And I read all the table talk, just mighty book like that of Martin Luther. He would just be in his house eating. And then people, his students and other neighbors around will just come just to listen to him. And so they call it table talk. Each time he will sit down and eat, they will just come. He will just share in the meal with them. They are eating. But he is teaching them something very powerful. And they were just learning from him, not knowing they were becoming disciples of reformation at that time. And they would just sit down and listen. And so one of them who will be coming every day, they said, look, what we are gaining from this man, this table every day, we need to pen it down. And then one of them volunteered to be the secretary. And so he would just sit down and listen and started. So whatever Martin Luther would say, it will struck their hearts. They will feel it and say, hey, this is true. And then he will write. And the table talk became a mighty book of all that he would say during table meetings. And they became powerful disciples. And the Reformation rekindled like fire, was burning all over, taking all over the world because somebody just on his table, discipling people. In a casual, it's not a formal way, just in an informal way. They are just eating. But what he was saying, what he was teaching, was so powerful. Maybe that's what God is saying. Go out for a lunch, breakfast, whatever, just to sit down with, just casually sit down and talk. Before you know it, you are building somebody's faith. And I see a lot what God would want us to do here. And he said, Timothy, maybe one thing I want to say here just to move on is that he had to, you know, circumcise him. Why? Because, you know, last time we talked, hey, why do you circumcise again? But this time you know that he's a Jew. And now the Jew knew that, hey, Timothy is a Jew. But what they're trying to tell him that just to create more relationship with the Jew were allowed to circumcise. They have no problem. So he said, okay, we're reaching out to most of the Jews around this place. So what do I do? Let me circumcise Timothy, not as a sign of faith, but because it will create more time, more opportunity for relationship, more opportunity for fellowship. And so that was why he did that. So let's get that. So he and you can see the result on verse 5. You know, I like what verse 5 says at the end of it. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Wow. And increased daily. He went around with Timothy and more those opportunity, telling them this is what the church have decided, and this is the faith in God. Put your faith in Christ. They kept teaching and encouraging and strengthening the church. And so people outside say, hey, something unique is going on here. And they were just coming, and it said daily they were increasing, they were strengthening, were encouraging. And that is their calling. And I see that as a great, you know, calling and challenge that God is calling upon us today. What is our Christian testimony? And how have we invested our lives, our resources, even if it means one soul? God will honor it. And I pray that we will take this as a serious challenge. Lord, will you just lead my heart and direct me to a soul? And I remember last time I prayed that prayer, and I've seen it happen. Yesterday we went to a family, we prayed with them, you know, with my wife. Yeah, that was Friday. We prayed. That family, people were surprised how they even gave themselves and was baptized as the entire family. That is so humbling to us. I'm saying this because to let you know that it's difficult, but it's possible. When we do it, seeking the face of God, he will honor his word. And he will answer our prayer. If your prayer will be, Lord, from today, give me a soul or a family that I will help and disciple them, it will surely happen. And I find verses 8 to this thing very, very interesting. 6 to 10, where it talks about Paul going, you know, sometimes let me just put a pause up for us here. You can imagine, they were going out, they want to go out to Asia, you know, following this side. And the Holy Spirit stopped them from going. So they want to go and preach, they want to go and... But the Bible says that the Spirit of God stopped them from going. I was wondering, asking myself, I don't have the answers, but just trying to to challenge our hearts to this. The Holy Spirit stopped them from going towards Asia. Say, hey, and they were wondering, then God, what do you want us to do? We want to go towards this direction, but you're saying no. Twice they sought the face of God, but it was not working towards this direction. And they just, how do we hear God speak to us? Today when the Pastor Dan was sharing about, you know, the vision, how we see, I was just really thinking about it too. Say, how do we... When Paul says, apostle of Christ, that he has seen God. How can we see God? How can we hear him speak to us? And so, look at how sensitive they were. Trusting the leading of God. Yes. To guide them. This thing seems right. This thing seems good. But God is saying, not my will at this point. not my direction at this point. Just still hold on and wait. You know, sometimes when we think about something great, we feel it's for God, and then we just push ourselves into it, and God says, hey, no. And then sometimes when we hit the block and say, God, I thought I'm doing your will. Say, but God said, listen to me. And I was just wondering, it's good that we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And so how did the Lord help them? I wish the scripture explained to us the resistance. How did God, you know, reveal to them that this is not my will to go this direction, but I'll prefer you to wait because a message will come and then you'll get the direction from God. And William MacDonald then gave about five ways that he believed that sometimes not only Paul and his team, but even us believers can learn from how God directs us. He said, through the scripture. You read the scripture, you want to know God's will, God's vision, God's direction. You have to be a person that will always take time to study the scripture. That is one thing I did recently, and it has revived my life in such a way that I just said, let me just read the Bible, the whole Bible, just read it and hear God speak. It was transforming for me. Reading the whole Bible, just passage by passage every day. It might be just one chapter a day, quiet in the morning, hear God, pray about it, and listen to God speaking. To read the whole Bible is very transforming. Many things that I've never learned, you know, encounter with God. Oh, my heart is really, and now I know it's true. You can hear God through the Word of God. I have gone through it and I've experienced it. I know it is true. Try it and you will see how it will. So, Paul at that time, I believe they had the Old Testament at that time. So, trying to see how God directs and moves. Then there is vision and prophecy. That's the second one. Vision and prophecies. God can give us a vision and then we hear him speak to us in his own direct way. And then God can also use, that's the third one, circumstances. Something may happen and you feel, God, why do you allow these circumstances to happen that we could not even go? And then I remember reading a history of a particular family when this Titanic was built. And everybody was so excited to go into Titanic. And this family, you know, the person sold his house, sold everything just to pay for his family to enter the Titanic. And so he went and sold everything. He was so excited about it. And so they were about to join the Titanic and go. Then about 2 or 3 days to the journey, one of their sons got bitten by a dog. And that time they insisted that once that happened, you have to take him to the hospital. And so the vet doctor who checked the son suspected rabies and said, hey, there must be a problem. We have to... And then the dad told the doctor, he asked him, how long will it take for him to check and make sure? He said, well, about a week. He said, no, please don't say 2 weeks. I have sold everything I have in this world. Please allow us to go and then give him medicine, something that we can monitor. He said, no. My profession does not allow me to do that. I have to monitor him for 2 weeks and make sure that everything is right. The dad almost, you know, collapsed and looked at the son and said, this son, look at what you have caused us. He was thinking about this thing. And it was a distress moment for him after selling everything. So the doctor insisted, and that was how they missed it. And while they were still waiting, then they heard the story of the Titanic. What happened to that mighty, all the blame and the insult on the son, he came back and said, Lord, son, I'm so sorry. Now I know what God can do. So God used that circumstances to save the entire family. So there are circumstances that may come our way. We may wonder, why God? Why do you do this? God may be directing us to another angle. So when circumstances come, we should just still trust God. It may be very discomforting. It may be very discouraging. It might be, saying, look, God, I have nothing to do with you now because of this. But let's still trust him. Even in that difficult moment, he still has his plan and purpose for us. Amen. He is a sovereign God. Amen. He sees beyond what we can see. And even in that circumstances, that's why sometimes I pray each time I find myself in a situation, I pray, I say, Lord, can you bring something good out of it? Just bring something good out of it. I don't know why you allow it, but can you bring something good out of it? Mm-hmm. And once you pray that prayer, settle it in your heart and leave it to him. With time, you begin to see the good that will come out of it. And it says, can be through, the fourth one says, through advice and initiative of other Christians. Other faithful Christians, they can advise you. You can hear what God is saying in their hearts because God can use others to direct your step. And it is very important. And then the last one talks about, you know, God can speak to us in his own way directly. So God is not, let's not cage God in a box and say, hey, God, if you don't do it this way, then it's not you. God is sovereign. He's beyond our mind and intelligence. So he can do whatever he wants to do. So if God decides to speak to you in his own way, and you understand this is God speaking to you, then that's fine. So God has a way of communicating to us in his own way. And so, but look at the end result of it. When they waited and trusted God, then the Macedonian person came in now. Yes. And said, Paul, come and help us over here. It was clear. Mm-hmm. And they saw it. And do you know what? That was the greatest revival that came to Europe. Because they went to Macedonia, you know, towards Europe. And that brought a great revival to Europe. You can imagine the little, you know, because they trusted God, they want to be very clear God is calling them. And wherever God is calling us, that is where we will go. Wherever direction God is saying, that is the direction we will take. And they could obey the voice of God. God is calling us, and he is trusting us, and say, believe in me and trust in me, and I will lead you and guide you in this journey. So, and then the last part as I conclude is their visit, like I said, to how God led them to Macedonia. And that's a Roman, they said the Roman colony. And you know, that's a great city in the Roman colony at that time, where it was a city where people come from different places. And as they come, hear the gospel, they go and spread the gospel again to different. You see how God works. He said, go to this colony where retired armies, generals were there. People is becoming like a big city where people come from different places for trade. But yet, God used the gospel there. And like Paul will always do, he will look for the city, and where there is a temple or a synagogue, he will go first to the Jews to preach, and then in that city, he was surprised. No synagogue. But he heard that there is a place of prayer that women go there to pray. And Paul says, yes, every opportunity, let's go. So they went there and they saw these women praying. And then they joined them in the prayers and then start talking to them about the gospel of Jesus. What a great opportunity to talk to people about Christ. And so they, and the women now, accepted the gospel, and one of them cried out to them and said, please, if you count me as one of your disciples, as you count me as a faithful believer in Christ, stay with us. You know, at that time, you remember when Jesus would tell his disciples, go without anything? That is how it is done at that time. All these missionaries that go out, they live with other believers. The believers open their homes. Say, come and stay with us. And they will stay for a certain period of time and then move on. You can imagine all the missionary journey, first, second, third. Paul didn't build a house. Where there is a situation, he built a tent and then live. But then, in most cases, you can see that he lives in people's homes. And that was how the Christian life at that time. You know, people come to faith and they say, come over and stay with us. And Paul will stay there. And Paul will write and say, look, This person is coming to this city. Please welcome him into your homes. That was how they were living. Everything belonged to each other. And this, because of the faith of this woman, the entire family was baptized. What an infectious faith. A powerful faith that will touch the entire family. And the entire family was baptized because a woman in that home accepted Christ. I just pray that God will build our faith, that it will touch somebody's life, that tomorrow somebody will look at you and say, I am baptized today because of what you have done in my life. Just to the glory of God. God wants to use us if only we can just give ourselves to him. And they opened their home and Paul stayed with them. And that is how it is. So for us, I would say practically, is that's exactly what Pastor Dan did for us. They opened their house last time we came. And now when we came this time, the kid did not even need to ask for it. They just want, I think, it's told down, it's not your home. Be careful. They just start behaving as if it is their home. Let's open our homes to each other. And let our homes be a house of fellowship, a house of prayer. I'm telling you, you will be surprised how people will be touched when we open up our homes for each other and say, you are welcome at any time, brother. You are welcome at any time, sister. Come and have fellowship with us. And so when we're able to do that, we are building fellowship and relationship among ourselves. But when we don't open our homes, it becomes very difficult to share our faith and our relationship with Christ. So I just pray that as we share in this fellowship today, we will extend it to our homes and say, brothers and sisters, let's bring back this fellowship back to our homes again, where we'll just relax as Christians and talk to each other. And the most important part of it is that let's open our homes that any one of us can come in at any time and enjoy hospitality from us. I'll just read the concluding part, example of Christ. We can see the incarnation of Christ in this story, who became like us and called us to serve him. We are serving him for the sake of the kingdom. When we make sacrifice for his sake, he became like us to show us how to live. He incarnated and became one of us to teach us how to live, to teach us how to show love for one another. I conclude with this great assignment he did. They sat down on the table, about to eat. Everybody was looking who will wash their feet, because based on the tradition, somebody must wash their feet before they eat. And the food was getting cold. Nobody was willing to do that. He was looking at them. What a great teacher. Who will be the first to stand up to clean their feet? The food is getting cold and everybody was looking. They were surprised. He stood up and put towels on his waist and started washing their feet. Everybody was shocked. And then Peter came back to his senses. Said, Jesus, you are the master. You can wash my feet. He said, allow me to do it. He finished. And then he looked at them. They were looking at him. Do you see what I just did? Say, yes. Go and do likewise. Yes. If Jesus can do this, we must do it. That is why he became like us, to teach us how to live a life of service, to serve one another. May he give us the grace and the ability to just be like him and trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, and he will help us. Amen.